Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the inaugural Exhausted Mommy Support Group. Today is Monday, May 23rd, 2016, and this is our first episode. My name is Janice, and I'm a mom of a 2.5-year-old boy.
And I am Amy, and I am the mom of 2 little girls, 5 and 3. And if you, we're going to be sharing our stories today, and if you want to call and share some of your stories with us, then the number is 929-477-1288. Again, that's 929-477-1288. You can also email us at exhaustedmommies@gmail.com and find us on Twitter and Facebook as is at Exhausted Mom.
And we decided to start this show. It's actually, an offshoot of another radio show that I do called the Music Therapy Show. But we wanted to start this as its own entity, as a way to explore how to enjoy parenting, because parenting is exhausting. But we wanted to support each other through that exhaustion and recharge from that exhaustion and find ways to enjoy parenting even after the exhaustion or during the exhaustion. So today we're going to talk about our birth stories, but first let's catch up on how we've been doing over the last month or so by sharing something enjoyable about being a mom and something that's less enjoyable or wasn't enjoyable. And I can't think over the last month, so I'm going to pick something from this last week. And my less enjoyable moment is that my kid is having some problems going to bed. And last night, I try to get him in bed by 8 o'clock because I just need that time to myself by 8 o'clock. I need space. And he's just not going to sleep right away. And it usually takes about a half hour or more to finish bedtime so that we can have some adult time with me and my husband afterwards. And I tried to remember that it probably won't last terribly long if we try to stay consistent with it, and that he's 2, and this is just kind of part of being 2. Tell me that's true.
It's true.
Okay. I'll hang in there. And then last week, I think it was Thursday night, he woke up at 3 a.m. and stayed up the rest of the day. He took a nap at daycare, but I went to work. I was very productive anyway, but I was not a very happy mom then. But things, and then both positive things or both stories from one person? What do you think? We haven't really discovered all of the details of this show. We're just trying it out.
You vouch for one person.
Okay.
Mostly because I'm still thinking.
Okay. All right, so I think that day that he woke up at 3 a.m., he turned to my husband and said, "Daddy, let's make pancakes." And I got the cutest picture. If you happen to follow me on Facebook, I have the cutest picture of him and his dad in their aprons making pancakes. It's adorable.
I've seen it. It's the cutest picture in their aprons. It's true.
And he's at the age now where he spontaneously yells, "I love you, Mommy," or "I love you, Daddy." And it's just so cute. I kept hearing that would happen. It really is quite lovely.
It is really nice.
So negative for me, the good news, I guess, I will say, is I feel like with my littlest one, we went through, I think it's been a year of very challenging days. And I was just commenting to my husband, I feel like we're kind of moving out of that. I haven't had so much of it. That doesn't mean that it's all rosy every day, but it's much improved since our last talk.
The drama's
yeah, subsiding a bit. But we did have an encounter at a tennis lesson in the neighborhood where we're there. My older daughter is playing, and my littlest one is just, she's 3.5, and she doesn't tolerate things not going her way very well. I remember now what it was. She wanted me to write something on the paper. I didn't write it to her according to her liking. I didn't realize that. I couldn't have known that.
But it was meltdown everywhere, complete, and there was no fixing it because it wasn't, it was in marker or crayon. I'm sorry, it was in crayon. It couldn't be erased. She didn't want a new piece of paper, and it was a hopeless cause, and it was just a complete meltdown that happened. And also, I'm supposed to be some sort of parenting expert, and this is happening in front of everyone that I know in my neighborhood. Which it happens to everyone, but still you feel a little bit of added pressure when people sort of know that about you and then they're watching you to see what you're going to do, which in some ways is nice because it does help remind you not to completely have a meltdown yourself, you know, when other people are watching. But we did finally get over that, but that was really a hard day. And that was actually not the first meltdown of the day, which is also why sometimes you're an exhausted mommy, because that was, I think, like the fourth impossible situation we had been in that same day that she had a meltdown for. But we got through it. Like I said, I think those days are sort of becoming fewer and further between, which is nice. As far as something about loving parenting, before the show we were talking about how I took my kids on the first camp out that we've ever been on. And really, I think it's the first camp out I've been on as an adult person since I was probably in college or somewhere around then. And I'm in the habit with my girls of, at the end of the day, we talk about what our best thing was about the day. And I was asking them what it was that their best thing was. And we got this new tent, and it has a screen on the top where you can see the stars, which is pretty nice for laying there in the middle of the country where you get to see a lot of stars, it turns out. And my oldest daughter said her best thing of the day was being able to see the first star.
Oh,
which was really nice.
That is nice.
So it felt really just, I don't know, it feels nice when your kids get happiness out of something that seems real, like not having to buy a new toy or something like that. Just something that, you know, if you get happy because you get to see the first star, the good news is you might be able to be a happy person because that's going to happen a lot. So that felt really nice.
Plus it builds that awareness of things outside of you, right?
Yeah.
So while you were talking, I was thinking that maybe we should introduce ourselves a little bit more, talking about our backgrounds and all. And I am a board-certified music therapist and a professor at a university teaching music therapy. And so I've been doing music therapy for 20 years, 21 years almost. And I've worked a lot in with children with disabilities mostly. I became a parent later in life. I was 41 when my kid was born. And the learning curve was just significant for me. And so I try to create communities for myself. I'm not always successful at that, but sometimes I am. And I try to create that for myself. And that's why I wanted to start this radio show, was to help support other parents that maybe don't have resources around them. And one of my resources was a class that Amy taught. And so I asked her to come along on this journey with me.
And like I said, my name's Amy, and I have also been working with families for about 20 years or so now. My background's a little different. I have a bachelor's degree in child development. I have a master's degree in counseling, but I never have been a counselor. What I have done is worked with parents in all kinds of ways to help them be more successful as parents and have what they want to see with their kids happen more often, I guess. And 5.5 years ago, I became a mom for the first time, and I was also older, 34, when my oldest was born. And despite the fact that I had been working with parents forever by then, it felt like, I was pretty much taken aback by just the responsibility and the immense weight of taking care of another little person and being responsible for their care 24/7. And at that time, I worked with other people, also working with parents, and so we kind of supported each other, but I never really had a good support group where I could just go and just talk about how it was and how it is to be a mom. And so now I work teaching classes to parents about taking care of their new babies before their babies arrive, and then also having support groups for moms after their babies are born, and then after they grow up a little with toddlers and other things and stuff like that. And that's how Dennis and I met.
Yes. Leading a mommy group that saved my life. Really. Okay, so we planned out what we wanted to talk about on this show for each month. I think we decided we were going to try it out monthly for now. And for you had mentioned when you were talking about starting up mommy groups that it's often a nice way to begin by sharing your birth story. So I thought we might begin in that way. But I thought it might be nice if you talk a little bit about why this is a good way to begin support groups in general.
Well, sure. I think that moms often, especially new moms, this has been a huge thing that has happened in their life. And there's not a lot of opportunities for you to share that story with people unless you're talking with other moms. It's not really like you'll be at work and you're in a meeting and you can share the story, or you've gone out to dinner with friends and you want to share the story. But it's something for most women, it's pretty life-changing. And so it's in there and you want to get it out. You want to talk about how it was for you. You want to talk about what it felt like for you. And so being able to do that is a good way to start. And also it's just a place to connect. We all did it. If you birthed a child, you have a story about how that child came into being. That's just part of how we can connect as moms when we're starting to support each other in a mom's group.
Plus, if you were not able to, for whatever reason, to go through the birth process, you still have an adoption story.
Right.
And perhaps a fertility story, maybe not that, maybe you just planned on adoption all along. There's still a story that happens from not being a mom and then being a mom. And I don't know what that's like to adopt, but I do know that process. It does change your life. So
yeah.
It's good to share and have a space for that, because you can't talk about it with everybody. So this is a space for that. If you want to share your story, feel free to contact us and we're happy to listen. So how should we begin?
I don't know. You want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Oh, I guess I can start. Okay. So I had planned a hospital birth the whole time, but I wanted it to be natural. But my doctor was really concerned about my advanced maternal age. So she did not want me to go over 39 weeks. She wanted me to go over 40 weeks, because she just said that the research shows that the placenta starts to fail and more problems can happen. And so she said at one of my later checkups, let's do it on the first day of week 39 of your pregnancy. I was like, okay. And I went into labor actually the night before that. I feel like it was. So I went in to be induced on a Saturday evening. And then the Friday before that, I started labor, but it didn't progress in any way at all. So it was just really uncomfortable is what it was. So Saturday night, I checked into the hospital and was still planning on doing it as naturally as I could, and had taken a class and learned about the bathtubs and how helpful they were, and how there were just a few of those rooms available. So if you're doing natural planning or natural birth, then make sure you get a room with a bathtub. So I communicated all of this to the nurses and stuff, and I'm not sure they listened to me real carefully. But anyway, the induction was fine, or the beginning of the process was fine. I forget now what they do, but you're in there the Saturday night, and they hook you up to some sort of drip of something. And they do things to you that I don't really recall. I just remember being in the hospital and having people do stuff. So then the next morning, it was time to transfer down to the maternity unit. So I told them I wanted to walk because I knew that helped the baby progress. And I had to convince them that it was going to be okay for me to walk down to the unit. And they agreed after some convincing. But there was not a room with a bathtub. And I kind of threw a fit. I hear other moms talk about at some point in their birth process, a fit occurs. And that was probably mine right there. And so the reality was there weren't any rooms available that had the bathtub. So they did let me take a shower, which was not as satisfying. But it was something. And they let me stand up and try to do it without drugs for a while. But then the monitor, I had to be on a fetal monitor the whole time. And stopped getting good readings when I would be in the positions that were most comfortable for me at the time. And eventually I just had to lie down so that the monitor would work. And then the pain got so terrible because they didn't tell me. First of all, they didn't tell me that they were hooking up penicillin because I have whatever that infection is that is bad for children when they're being born, but doesn't generally have any effect on the mom. Group B, whatever. Anyway, they test you for it beforehand. And apparently I had that, but they didn't let me know that I did. And they started this penicillin drip or whatever they use, whatever drug it is. And it burned really badly as it was going in. And they never told me what it was for. So I was upset about that. And then they kept turning up the Pitocin and didn't tell me that they were doing that. So I was not really prepared for anything. So eventually the pain got so bad that I begged for an epidural and got one after a couple of begging. Because I still had long hours of labor ahead of me. And the pain was, I could have done it maybe twice more, two more contractions without medicine, but it wasn't going to end after two more contractions. So I got the drugs and spent the rest of the night. I was in labor for quite some time, all day Sunday, all night Monday. And but the actual pushing, when the facility was so busy that day that the doctor was not ready. So they needed me to wait a bit longer. So it was around 4 a.m. roughly that my kid was finally born. And I only pushed, three times, maybe 5 times. And everything was good. I don't think I really thought about how I did think about how I wasn't informed a lot, but I didn't really start to process that until much later. And then, we came home from the hospital and my roof had collapsed from the torrential rains and a bad repair. So that caused more trauma later, but that was not part of the birth necessarily. That was my story.
Well, even though it wasn't actually part of the birth, that's part of your story. That's wrapped up together when you think about your baby being born, the house falling apart while you were gone and then coming home to that. That was probably not the reunion the homecoming you were thinking about and hoping for. So for me, I'm going to back it up a bit. So I've been working with families since I was like 19 years old, I think, in a whole bunch of different ways, in childcare, with at-risk families, all kinds of stuff. Always knew when I was a kid that I wanted to be a mom. And the kind of story that I believed was that you use birth control when you don't want to have a baby because the baby is just imminent and it's going to happen to you immediately. So you better avoid it at all costs because it's going to happen if you know, it's lurking out there just waiting for you to mess up and it's going to pounce on you, right, this baby. Well, it turns out that wasn't how things went for me, which is a pretty big, surprise and disappointment. Turns out much of parenting isn't what you planned. So that was the beginning of a life lesson for me. I just thought when I decided it was time to be a mom, that was going to happen for me, and it did not. And that went on for 10 years. So I was in one relationship that ended, and then I have now. And when we got together, I was already advancing in age. I wasn't quite, I was just shy of advanced maternal age with my first, but I was definitely over the line for advanced maternal age for my second. So I totally get that. When they tell you that, I just told the nurse, why don't you just say you're old? Why do you keep saying advanced maternal age? Why don't you just say, we're doing these extra tests because you're old? Because it pretty much sounds the same to me.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It doesn't sound as nice as you think when you say it.
I just kept reminding myself that I'm glad they're not still using geriatric pregnancy.
Right. That would have been worse, I'll agree. So then I get married to my husband, and then we decide we want to have a baby, and then it takes 9 months to make a baby happen inside of my tummy. And then I was sick, and that was also not really what I expected. Just morning sickness. I'm not talking about anything I was physically as the pregnancy was progressing, I was healthy. The baby was healthy. I just felt terrible. Yeah. There you go. I think that happens to a lot of people. It's not a big deal unless when it's happening to you, it doesn't feel so fantastic. That happened, but everything went great. I went into labor on my due date. Well, my water broke, I should say. My water broke on my due date, but I was not at all progressing in labor, so I also got to get the beloved Pitocin. And when the contractions actually started, I thought I was being hit by a train. So I got the medicine pretty much immediately. The nurse gave me some really good, what I felt like was really good information, which was it's a good idea if you plan on taking or having an epidural to go ahead and do that before you're in so much pain that you can't be still for it. So after a few of those really intense contractions, for me, that was all I could take. I know several friends of mine had a natural childbirth. Good for you. For me, that was just not possible. And so I got that epidural. I have the opposite story of you in that my labor was exceedingly short.
Mm-hmm.
But I pushed for over 3 hours, and my daughter did not arrive. And so I ended up in a C-section after all of that hard work. In addition, my water had been broken for longer than I thought, so I also got an infection. It was a pretty traumatic birth. I didn't know this at the time. I was in this, blur, and it was 1:54 a.m. when my daughter was born. So I checked into the hospital. I went to my doctor's appointment at 1. I went to work in the morning. I called the doctor and said, something seems weird when I pee. There's something else in there. They said, can you come in at 1? I said, sure. I came in at 1, and sure enough, my water had broken. My daughter's head was just keeping it from coming out all the way. And they also wheeled me downstairs, which I thought was really bizarre because I was literally, I just walked in here, 20 minutes ago. So by 9 o'clock, they were kicking everybody out of the room saying it's time to push. This baby will be here by 10:30. By 12:30, she wasn't coming. And so then we did the C-section, and then she was born at 1:54 a.m. And I was recovering from an infection, having labored and pushed, and also major surgery. And that was pretty traumatic for me. And then we had breastfeeding issues after that. So the whole process of me becoming a mom was not what I expected. And now I look back and I realize I was having postpartum depression, but I didn't know that at the time. I just thought something's wrong with me. Why can't I get it together? I couldn't sleep because I was having panic attacks, which I had never had in my life, so I didn't know that's what it was. That was pretty stressful. And then I got through that with the support of some people, some of my friends and some other things. And then when I decided to have another kid, I always thought I'd have more kids, but it was like, I do want to have another one. So when I decided to have the second one, I was terrified because of what had happened the first time. Absolutely terrified of going through that process again. And it turns out it doesn't have to be that way. So the actual birth experience may go however it goes, but the way that I experienced that transition into being a mom doesn't have to be that way. And I really became motivated to work with other families to help them so that it doesn't have to be, it's going to be hard, but it doesn't have to be hard by yourself. You don't have to be alone in the world going through this process. I was at this unrelated thing on Friday, a workshop, and they asked us to think about the last time that you were unmeetable or that you felt alone where someone couldn't reach you. And I thought of those nights at 3 a.m. with a newborn baby. I thought, I'm all alone in the world. I'm awake with this baby. Everyone else is asleep. And we have to get through this. And so anyway, that's kind of my story and why I think it's important to do this show and to work with new parents, because it doesn't have to be that way. You're not alone in the world. It turns out many people experience that. And if we can be together in that, it feels a little less empty and alone. So.
Yeah, and thanks for sharing that. I think when I was a new mom, I had those same feelings of, I'm the only one up at this hour, and why can't this be easy like it looks to be easy to all of these other parents, especially the ones that have like 5 kids and stuff, and why are they able to do it so well, and I suck so much. And I think that really is the impetus for wanting to do this show and offer the resources that we plan to offer, because I know that there are moms that have even fewer resources and people around them to help than I do. And I don't have that many, but I have some. And I think that at moments in especially new parenthood, you have ideas that you have no one else, and you're so isolated because you're just sitting at home. You can't really get dressed because you're still recovering from this big physical event that happened, and you're having to wake up every couple hours to feed a baby or take care of a baby that's crying, and you're still trying to figure out what to do. And I didn't have a mommy support group until my kid was 8 months, and I thought, finally, I don't have to be alone. And then I wanted to be alone. So I was thinking about, what about that mom that maybe moved to a new area and doesn't have other mom friends yet or doesn't have any family around yet? How can they participate in a support group even though they don't have actual people nearby yet? And one thought I had was maybe you could certainly call in to this show when it's live, and talk to us about our broadcast plan for the day to offer support to people that need that. But I thought maybe journaling has always helped me process the way I feel. And sometimes if I put it in an external thing like paper, then it doesn't have to live in my head anymore. So if you don't have anybody around and you want to share your birth story and don't have anybody that can listen to your birth story, maybe just write it down. And you can, if you like, you can think about this writing down as a way of telling God or Jesus your birth story, or maybe some other maternal figures that were important to you but aren't present physically. You could think being helpful for you. Do you have anything to add about that, or ways that moms that are isolated might be able to find other moms?
I think that's a really good thing that you said about if you can't find a person to write it down or to do something to get it outside of your head. A lot of times you can look up online. If you've just moved to a new area, there's meetup groups. There's actually sometimes you can look up mommy meetup groups, see if you can hook up with other moms that way. If there's any kind of, if you're into exercise at all, sometimes there's mommy baby workout classes where at the very least you can go and meet other moms while you're at the class, or like baby swim lessons. Sometimes there's baby swim lessons and it's a similar thing where they're even if you're not really like totally into swim lessons, you might be able to go to the swim lessons and meet other parents who also have babies at your child's age. Just in order to meet. I think once kids get to school, it's a little bit easier because they're there every day. So if you're going to work and there's a daycare, take advantage of maybe trying to connect with any of those parents if you can. That's another way. If you go to church, a lot of times churches have groups or know of ways to find groups. You can look that way as well.
Yeah, but I think asking for help and support is a good way. And sometimes that can be really hard to do, but it's important. So I would put yourself out there and ask. All right. Should we close out today?
Yeah.
Okay. You're up.
I'm up. Thank you for joining us today. If you have questions or comments, contact us at exhaustedmommies@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter or Facebook at exhaustedmoms.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next month about self-compassion and how to deal with not being perfect and mom guilt.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Let us know what you think and if there's anything else that you think we might be able to help you with. Have a great week.